The 47th mitzvah is mitzvahs bezdin larog bechenek hamechuyav, the mitzvah incumbent upon a proper Jewish court of law, and we'll define exactly what that is later in this mitzvah, not a mitzvah on individual people, because this is exclusively the domain of appropriately empowered special court, to apply the penalty, the death penalty of strangulation to those who are liable for the penalty of strangulation. Shenitzdavinu lahomis haovrim al ktsas mitzvos shebatora bechenek. We are commanded to put to death those who violate certain mitzvos of the Torah by strangulation. Shneamar umakei ish vameis mos yumas. That somebody who hits another man and he dies, applies to men and women, so that person who commits murder shall be put to death. So, vizo shall make ish achas man shemisasan bechenek. So, there's a certain type of somebody who kills another person who is punishable by chenek, but the ordinary punishment for murder is actually saif, which is actually killing by the sword. So it's just the commentators on the Sefer HaChinuch over here point out that it's kind of strange that he seems to use this as an example of chenek. Sherei kosu b'mos yumas u'perush amru zichronim livracha. The sages tell us, kol misa amur b'Torah stam, when it just says in the Torah that a certain person shall be put to death without specifying the penalty, or which death penalty is involved. The standard death penalty is strangulation. So this also taught us, this is apparently, this sentence is not found in all the versions of Sefer Chinuch, but it's in many manuscripts. So they can't be paid back. So this also tells you that the person must be put to death, and there's no monetary compensation that can atone for that. Again, this sentence does not exactly seem to be in the right place, so it's missing from certain versions. So, shorish mitzvah zo. So, what is the reason behind this mitzvah? Nigla lakol. It's obvious to everyone. Ki melech ba mishpat yamid eretz. A king with strict judgment causes the earth to stand. People weren't afraid of being punished for their actions. People would just go around killing each other and doing other terrible things to each other if they were not afraid of punishment. God commanded us, so God commanded us to put a murderer to death. Again, it's strange that he's using this as an example for chenek, but let's bear with the Sefer Chenek here. So the God decided this person why should have to be put to death by strangulation. Why? The Adover knows gam ledatenu anu. So it's easy for us to understand as well. It's sort of funny. Like God thought this was the right thing to do, and yeah, it makes sense to me too. We'll go for it. Ki kasher asa keini asa lo. He receives the exact punishment that he intended to. The same thing is done to him that he is intending to do to someone else. Similar to the idea of Edim Zomamin that we saw before, that the Edim false witnesses under certain circumstances receive the same punishment that they tried to administer to someone else. So when you murder someone, you generally don't want them to die a slow and agonizing death. Because you're afraid that the person is going to start fighting back, or you're afraid of getting caught, or something like that. So the Torah wanted him to die quickly, and not in a not painful manner. I guess the Torah subscribes to the constitutional principle of that one is not allowed to do cruel and unusual punishment, at least when it's incommensurate with a crime. So that's since strangulation is a fast form of death, and yeah, that's a little bit hard to understand. Also, wouldn't think strangulation was such a fast form of death. In fact, you'd think that the penalty that someone who murders actually receives, which is the penalty of death by sword, is much faster. It's instant death, really. So I don't. This Sefer Chinuch is very hard to understand this particular mitzvah. But you could understand that the penalty of burning, which is actually not, as we'll see when he discusses it explicitly, the penalty of burning is not that you just burn the person at the stake, is that you pour a hot molten metal down their throat, which apparently is a faster form of death even than that. Uskila shein b'tzarav. So stoning someone to death is also a drawn-out process. So that's the worst form of the death penalty, and that's considered that's reserved for what are considered to be the worst avirahs, like avodah zarah and other things. V'ulam b'mishpatei hazima shenenu ha'overim ba'avera v'nimshecha anasan k'tzas. But and the other things where somebody could have sinned regarding that, and they drew it out. Tavu ben pamim srifa pamim skila. But for things that deserve a really bad punishment, sometimes they get burning, and sometimes they get skila. So basically, the message that the Sefer HaChinuch is telling you over here is, as opposed to the liberal philosophy nowadays, where the death penalty just doesn't work and it's just cruel to do it at all times, and there's no point in doing it at all because people are not afraid of the death penalty. Again, that's the exact philosophy behind it is somewhat subject to dispute, but the basic idea of the Torah is that people who are, again, the death penalty in the Torah is only administered when somebody is warned and there are two witnesses, and so it's a somewhat public fashion, and they had full time to contemplate what they were about to do. So the idea of the Torah is that if somebody does a really, really bad sin, and they do it in a way that that's for sure they understand what they're doing, then we don't want these people as part of the living Klal Yisrael. We don't want people. We want to be our Torah Mikirbecha. We want the Jewish people to be consisting of only righteous people, or at least gonna not do these really bad things in a semi-public way that indicates their knowledge of the matter. Yes. Again, the death penalty was not right. The death penalty was not even. You could say that our Chachamim were somewhat liberal. That it says in many places in the Gemara, you know, it talks about Rebbe Akiva says how if he were in Sanhedrin, they would never have administered the death penalty. Okay, so there seemed to be a certain trend away from the death penalty as times changed and the society was different and the method of dealing with criminals was different. But whether it doesn't really matter in terms of practice or not practice, we can discuss. Again, there's a general principle in terms of batei din, in terms of Jewish courts, that you have to see what's appropriate in that time and place. And there's a principle makin von shin shalom min hadin. If the Beis Din decides that there's such a terrible thing going on that they need to administer an extrajudicial death penalty, then that's technically open to the Beis Din as well. That wouldn't be a violation of Ritzicha or murder or anything like that. It's perfectly. But you see that you have to use, the Torah is clearly in favor of a Seicheldika death penalty. And this is a lot of the problem in the state of Israel, if you allow me a moment of political commentary, that there's this whole controversy over releasing terrorists or in exchange for negotiations or for prisoners of war or something like that. So many people make the point that really there should not be any terrorists to release. What do we need a terrorist populating the jails for? If somebody conspires, I don't know if that would receive the death penalty, or certainly carries out a death penalty in which people are killed, then they should. This is different from, you know, the controversy in America over whether certain murder cases require the death penalty or should have the death penalty. There should be death penalty. No, this is talking about, you know, I think few people probably would have said that the death penalties at Nuremberg were unjustified. So here too, I mean, the terrorists should be clearly the what really should be done is that they should be put to death if they know that there's hope that they're going to live in jail for a while and then be returned to the society. So it's going to...
It's a matter of deterrence, you're saying.
Right. It's been shown that they usually do return to terror, and the terrorists are strengthened by the fact that the penalties are so light. So it seems...
Except for suicide bombers, of course.
Right, suicide bombers. But if somebody orchestrates an attack that kills many people and it's clearly very premeditated, and there's clearly a need that for it to be stopped at all costs, so... Here is a case where certainly death penalty is appropriate. Then you wouldn't have them demanding release of prisoners as a exchange for negotiations or all these little things that they want tons of prisoners released for.
Or at least they would be different prisoners. I mean, there would obviously still be prisoners.
Right, they'd be prisoners, but not actual people.
The negotiators are strong for just...
Right, the people who had blood on their hands. I mean, they would be, I mean, there would be ones who did not have blood on their hands. I mean,
right.
So, excellent. Yeah, that's a good point. That's my... The only person who's been put to death in the state of Israel was Eichmann. Mm-hmm. So, there's not really... Oh, of course, they assassinate people. Of course. I put that by the judicial system as opposed to being in prison. So clearly, the only difference here is really a matter of scale. The ideas about what they view as the correct way the Jewish people should be treated are basically the same. That the Arabs would like to see us disappear, and the Nazis want to see us disappear. So in my view, the death penalty is quite appropriate. And I'm not commenting on, again, like I said, in America, what the law should be in terms of, although I think in certain severe cases, certainly the death penalty is called for in America as well. But the whole system, okay, is corrupt. Not corrupt, but there are problems with the system of the death penalty in America. Okay, that's what to discuss, but I'm saying... for large-scale crimes, I think it's incumbent upon the state of Israel to execute people. Dine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. Kigon ma-she'amru zichronam livracha, she-mashkin es-ha-mechuyav bezevel al-erkuvosav. The way the strangulation is carried out is that you put the criminal into manure up to the knees, so he can't move, because I guess if he struggled or wriggled too much, then the strangulation might be extra painful or wouldn't be as effective. So you want him not to move too much, or her.
Why don't you put them in like restraints?
This is the way to restrain it. I'm not sure exactly why this is. It's done exactly this way.
It's so embarrassing.
Well, yeah. Well, you're only going to be embarrassed for a few minutes. V'chorchin sudar kashel esocha raka. And you take a hard towel or some sort of kerchief or some cloth, and you put it inside a soft towel, so charaka al tzavaro. You wrap it around his neck. Zemo sheichetzlo v'zemo sheichetzlo. One witness pulls one side, with the other witness pulls the other side. Again, two witnesses have to testify to his guilt. Ad shenafsho yotza, until he dies, until he expires.
Is this the two edim that put him to death?
Yeah, the two edim that testified to his guilt. Yado edim tiyabo batchila, the Torah says.
Executioners.
Yeah, the witnesses.
What so that is there for you to bring them up? I don't want to kill someone.
Well, you have to. That's you first of all, you can't be an aide, so you're out of your. You're off the hook, but that's part of. That's why there's a mitzvah to say Eidos when you know Eidos. There's a mitzvah to say Eidos when you know Eidos, but also you have to think twice about testifying falsely, because unless you really believe that this person should be put to death, you're going to be the one to do it. So you have to make sure, 100% sure, that you're correct. And it's also why the court, for the death penalty in general, we have very stringent standards about what is what's acceptable testimony. And again, we talked about the drishas v'chakiris, and making sure that the Eidim don't contradict each other in any way. There's a whole process involved. But I'm saying, again, the main issue is that the court system has to be b'seichel. So again, these things, when we're talking about intra-Jewish court cases, but when you're talking about, like I just talked about, Israel executing terrorists, obviously the standard of evidence would be different. It would work according to whatever made the most sense. So the Eser Prateh, the rest of the details about strangulation, Mevorim Perek Zayin Misanhedrin, the Arba Misos, the famous Perek of Sanhedrin, where it discusses the four types of the death penalty. U'mitzvah zo einu noheges ela ba'aretz, this mitzvah is only in Eretz Yisrael. She'ein don in dinin nefashos ela ba'aretz. This Sefer Chinuch is extremely difficult because he says that the death penalty is only in the land of Israel, which is not true. The death penalty can only be administered by a court of 23 people, which are who have smicha, who have the real smicha, which is given in Eretz Yisrael.
What is the real smicha compared to today's smicha?
The real smicha is the real chain of command from Moshe Rabbeinu down to Yoshua, etc. The smicha we have today is just like a heter hara, just saying you're allowed to pass kenshalas.
Well,
it's not the real smicha. Any recognized institution or rabbi can technically confer rabbinic ordination nowadays on someone else.
Well,
just the past to be recognized as such.
Certainly, it does appear as though the death penalty existed in a very clandestine way in Europe among some of the kehillas. This was something which obviously was not,
That's under the rubric of Makin Vonshin Shalom Min Adin. Mm-hmm. When the Bezdin in any particular time and place, even if they don't have real smicha, they could administer whatever punishments are appropriate to... there's a little bit of a machlokes about exactly how far that applies, but the simple understanding is that they can do it, really, they can do whatever they want. But anyway, so this... the mitzvah really is only applicable, the death penalty can only be performed when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. When the Sanhedrin is at its place in the Beis HaMikdash, either they can do it, that's the best, or if people who have real smicha can go anywhere they want. They could go to Chutz La'aretz, they could go to anywhere they want, they could form a Beis Din, and they could try capital cases, as long as the Sanhedrin exists in the place where it's supposed to be, in the Lishkas HaGozis, in the temple courtyard. But it's not true that the death penalty can only be administered in the land of Israel, per se, within the borders of the land of Israel. But now, even when the Sanhedrin still existed, when the Sanhedrin had many Golios who went to places like Tveria, for example, in the end, when the Sanhedrin was sitting there, even though they did have real smicha, they did not administer the death penalty, because the death penalty can only be administered when the Sanhedrin, there is a Sanhedrin in Lishkas HaGozis, although not specifically by the Sanhedrin, and not specifically in Eretz Yisrael. But nowadays, we certainly can't administer the real death penalty because we no longer have the real smicha. Any death penalty that a Jewish court would administer would be makin vonshin shelo min adin. Makin vonshin shelo min adin.
What does that mean?
It means you can administer punishments that are not technically halachically sound when they're necessary to make sure society functions properly. If you are on the Sanhedrin, or if you can do such a din, you can take part in a capital case and you don't do it, so you neglected to perform a positive commandment. And his penalty is very high, which is a paraphrase of Pirkei Avos, that without, there it says, you should be glad that we have a government, because if there was no government, then people would swallow each other alive. So it says that if people weren't afraid of being taken to court and being tried criminally, then they would just do whatever they want. They would swallow each other alive. So again, the reason, further reasons for the death penalty in certain cases. The Haramban Zal, the Ramban Nachmanides, has a different calculation. Lo yimne zos hamitzvah b'cheshbono. He doesn't count the administering of the penalty of strangulation as a separate mitzvah. The chein kol arba miso shel bezdin. And the rest of the four types of death penalties administered by the Beis Din, Shein Skila, Sreifa, Herig, V'chenek, everybody knows the four, stoning, burning, beheading, and strangulation, Sheim Neha Rambam, Zal, Arba Mitzvos, the Rambam counts the performance of each capital punishment at its proper time and as a punishment for the proper sins as four separate mitzvos. Lo Yimnahu Osan, the Ramban does not count them. The Omar, the Ramban says, "Ki bepasuk shelo viartara mikirbecha, that you shall eliminate evil from your midst." Sivso haTorah derech klal shenivar kolosi harami beinenu. This is just a general admonition from the Torah that we should get rid of evildoers from our midst. Suvo nichlu koladin, and this is talking about all the types of death penalty, and that's just one mitzvah. It's not that each one is considered separately in the counting of the 613. Ukshiyaparit hakosuv. Even not just the death penalties, even the other types of penalties that the Torah administers. Ein ze nechshav lemitzvah. It's not that each one is a separate mitzvah. Eino ki'im beir ha'inyan. This is simply explaining what uviarta rami kirbecha. You should eliminate the evil from your midst. The details of how to perform this mitzvah, but they're not all separate mitzvahs. The chacham yovar lo hayasher beinav. Yeah, you can't exactly. If you're wise enough, you could decide who was right, the Rambam or the Ramban, but there's no practical difference between the two anyway. But the next mitzvah is mitzvah memches. Again, parents, listen up. Shelo l'hakos avim, not to hit your mother or your father. Shelo yake habein ha'avim, that a child should not hit his or her parents. Va'afilu im heim yakos o'aka rabba, even if one's parents start hitting him and it really hurts. B'chol zman shelo yisu nafshel lamiso. They don't really think that they're going to do him harm. Shenemar maki aviv imo mos yumas. Someone who strikes his parent should be put to death. Again, if your parents are a rodef, if your parents are running after you and they're going to kill you or do you serious bodily harm, then you're allowed to defend yourself. That is perfectly acceptable, and that's what you should do. But under other circumstances, the hitting of your parents is a capital offense in the Torah. V'afalpi shelo hizir akosu v'feirush al zesh yomer al taku ha'avos. It just says, the Gemara asks in many places that we hear, the Torah tells us the punishment, but never told us that the thing was forbidden. So the Torah never has a specific pasuk where it says it's forbidden to hit your parents. It just says that you should be put to death. Ela shekosav onesh hamaka osam. It just says the penalty. It doesn't say that what the prohibition is. V'derecha talmud la'olam lishol b'inyan zeh v'lomar onesh shamanu azhar minayim. That's the Talmud asks about this always. Where's the pasuk that tells you that it's forbidden? Gam b'zeh yishlanu azharat. So here's where it's forbidden. Sharei anu muzharin al kolish misrael shelo hakoso. It's a negative commandment. One is not allowed to hit any Jewish person. Now, you shouldn't hit goyim either, but a specific prohibition here is talking about other Jews. But I'm saying, yeah, I mean, you could certainly make a logical argument that if it tells you the punishment, it doesn't need to tell you the azhara, but the Gemara is not working with that assumption. So shekasu b'mishne ischaya malkos arbaim yakenu lo yusif. What's the source that you're not allowed to hit any Jewish person? So it says regarding the penalty of lashes, that's the normal penalty that's administered for violating a negative commandment. You shall hit him, you shall give him 39 stripes. Again, it says 40 in the pasuk, but we have a tradition
stripes?
That it really means 39.
Why is it called stripes?
That's one of the words for it.
Lashes.
So if you, you shouldn't add it to the lashes beyond what's required by the halacha. So you learn from that you're not allowed to hit people more than is halachically required. So certainly you're not allowed to hit someone who didn't deserve lashes at all. Your parents are part of the Jewish people, so obviously you're not allowed to hit them. But Gail tells you that it's a different penalty, that your parents, you get the death penalty, and other people, you don't. This is where the Torah told us not to do it. Even though this is a specific lav separately, still we're going to count it as a separate lav to hit your parents here as well. So, like you're saying, that if it has the penalty of kares or a death penalty, of course there's a lav, a separate lav, in other words. Chutz mi Pesach u'mila, except for the offering of the Korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah sase. Mila also is a mitzvah sase, is a positive commandment. Yes, yet failure to comply with them results in the penalty of kares, which is normally associated with negative commandments. Uvakos afaim hare yesh bo kares below edim u'misa b'edim. And if you hit your parents, you get kares if there are no witnesses, and you get the death penalty if there are witnesses. This also, again, we're on the very difficult Sefer HaChinuch day here, because in conventional halachic literature, Maseches Krisos, where it talks about all the different penalties, sins that you get kares for, it does not list hitting your parents. So where did the Sefer HaChinuch get this from? So apparently there's some Yerushalmi somewhere that seems to indicate that you do get kares for hitting your parents, but he seemed to latch on to that. But the conventional understanding is that there is no penalty of kares for hitting one's parents. V'alkein yesh lanu lomar al kopanim shenilmad ha'azhara bo mikra delo yosef achar shelo mitzanua b'makom acher. So we could say that, and still we should learn out that there's a prohibition in the matter from lo yosef, because we didn't find any other place. V'tia ikar ha'azhara li yisrael v'chol nilmad l'makya avivayim. So it's like a larger lav, and then has a smaller bit to it that sort of spun off. That's the way he understands it. That the main thing is they annihilated any Jewish person, and then there's a side thing that sort of spun off into its own love that's part of, sort of, half in the, under the umbrella of the other one, sort of independent. It's a strange entity. In any case, so what's the reason that you have the death penalty for this? It doesn't seem to be so bad, like all the other things in the Torah that you get the death penalty for. Shehu kishehotzi mehem dam davka. We're going to get to that Shorshei Mitzvah. I jumped the gun a little bit. So if you just slap your parents, you're not subject to this penalty. You have to bring forth blood. It could be a bruise. Doesn't have to come out of the body per se. But certainly if you made them actually bleed, or you made them bleed internally, that would be considered to be a full violation of this mitzvah. So by other people, it has nothing to do with drawing blood or not. It just has to do with hitting them. And if it's worth less than a pruta, the damage that you cause them, less than a penny's worth, or the smallest currency's worth, then you receive lashes for violating this mitzvah. You're not allowed to hit other people. And if it's greater than a pruta, it's greater than the smallest level of currency, since you could pay the person back for the damage that you caused him, so you don't receive the penalty of lashes. Lashes are only when you can't compensate for the mitzvah in other ways. Mishor she mitzvah liyaser hanevolim v'ha-musarim sheherimu yad mishaviyam la'olam b'rotzun akel v'osalhem kamatovos. So it's the subjugate, it's to punish the Nevolim are like despicable people who took their hand against people, the people who brought them into the world as God commanded them to. They were in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Rivia. The Aslam Kamatovos, they raised him, they gave him a lot, they gave him all the stuff, money and food growing up, change your diapers, exactly. Umelach Mishbud Yaminera is just like he said in the last mitzvah, that the way that the earth is upheld is through judgment. So this is such a disgrace that somebody would be so ungrateful to one's parents as to hit them, let alone not show them kavod, which is not as severe, but this is unacceptable for any Jewish person to be left within Klal Yisrael if they do such terrible things.
I know, in my building where there's some woman adopted a boy, and he killed his foster mother.
Oh, wow. Well, that, okay. Yeah, but that's not technically a violation of this.
Not?
No, foster parents are not would not technically be a violation of this. I mean, it would be chayamis anyway for killing her. I mean, whatever, foster mother. But this particular mitzvah refers to biological parents. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah as follows: kigon makeo lachar misa shepater. We have a distinction in a lot of rabbinic literature where there are three levels. There's chayav, where you're fully liable for the penalty. There's putter, where you don't receive the penalty, but it's still forbidden. And mutter, meaning you're allowed to go ahead and do it. So here he uses the word putter, which means that although one does not receive the full penalty as if the parent were alive, but you are not allowed to hit your parents even when they're dead. Which is a very interesting concept. You still have to show respect to their body. V'iko al ozno v'cherisho shechayev misa. So if you whack your parent on the ear and he or she becomes deaf, so why? You could say, well, but there's no blood necessarily. If somebody endures such a terrible beating as to become deaf, there must have been some sort of internal bleeding that caused them to become deaf. So one would be put to death for causing one's parent to become deaf. Those that if you are a doctor and you need to treat your parents, and you treat your parent, then you are exempt. Again, the Sefer Chinuch is going to go on to explain. Ideally, one should not be the doctor to treat one's parents in a form of treatment that requires bleeding, either internal or external, unless there is no other qualified doctor to do it, in which case one would be allowed.
Even if they prefer it?
I think the post can discuss that.
They said that if they're specialists and like they trust them more, then it's okay.
Yeah, so there's no other doctor as qualified.
No, they are. You qualified, don't say. They just feel more comfortable.
Again, you would still be putter. You wouldn't receive the penalty if you performed any operation on your parents, any medical treatment, even if it did draw blood, if it was for their benefit. But ideally, if possible, one should try to find another doctor to do it. The din shtuki shechayev al imo velo al aviv. So we have a principle, before we go into the next couple dinim, that you have to have a mother and a father halachically in order to be chayiv for either one. So you might think there's a shtuki is someone who, let's say there's an unmarried woman who gets pregnant, and she says, I had relations with a kosher Jew, then the child is a fully kosher Jew, even if she doesn't name the person who's the father of the child. But if she says, well, it's somebody who's a mamzer or somebody else who's not allowed to become part of the Jewish people and would confer a less ideal status on the child, less ideal status on the child, So then that person is called a shtuki, because we're not sure she's telling. We believe her if she gives a positive state on the child, but she's going to try to put a negative state on the child because she said her father is a mamzer or someone else. So then that person is called a shtuki, or she doesn't reveal who the father is, or she you know something like that.
Wouldn't you think that person is called. Wouldn't you want to like lie to make her child's life better?
Well, midaraisa only avadai mamzer is also. These are.
Even so, why would she lie and say worse?
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe she doesn't know the halachas. I don't know.
No, but the I'll meet.
So the shtuki is somebody who halachically we don't know who his father is, and has certain issues in terms of yuchsin, in terms of who he can marry and who he can't. So there, he really does have a father. You just don't know who it is. So and for that reason, so he's chayiv for hitting his mother. And not who she said was his father, because we're not really sure that that's a father, because the principle is just as she fornicated with this guy who she claims is the father child, so there's someone else and she made a mistake, so we're not really sure.
They didn't have DNA testing back then.
Right, they didn't have DNA testing back then, 100%. V'din ge'er she'rasa she'lo b'kedusha she'ein chaya b'shneihem. So this is the other case where, let's say, a woman got pregnant and then she converted. Non-Jewish woman got pregnant, and so she and her child become Jewish at the same time. So halachically, the child is related to his mother, but not to his father, because the father is not Jewish, and the mother is Jewish at the time he was born, and the time he was gestating. This is one of the riots, by the way, like we talked about before, that if you have donor egg, that it goes according to the gestational mother, because you see it's a raya from here that just gestating is enough, even though the egg from which the child was conceived was a non-Jewish egg, so to speak. So since it was gestated in a Jewish body, then the child is Jewish. Now others don't accept this raya, but that's a different story. So there, since he halachically only has a mother and not a father, so even if he hit his mother, he wouldn't be chayiv, because there at least has to be a possibility of receiving the penalty for hitting one's mother or one's father. And here there's no father in the picture, so it would be impossible for him to be put to death for hitting his father, so he can't be put to death for hitting his mother either. V'din ger she'asur lo lahakos aviv goy derabanan. So a convert on a deraisa level is completely not related to his parents anymore. We have a principle of ger she'nis gar k'katun she'nolad dami, that a person who converted is like a newborn baby, and has no relatives. His non-Jewish kin are technically, halachically, not related to him anymore. So on a deraisa level, if a convert hits his or her parent, biological parent, then they would not be chayav, because halachically they're not related, because the parents are not Jewish and the convert is Jewish. But the Rabbanan, the sages, made a gzera that they forbade the convert from hitting his parents. Again, not a good idea. Nobody says it's a good idea. But they created an explicit din midrabanan that the ger is not allowed to hit his parents, because we don't want the gerim going around saying, oh, look, before when I was a non-Jew, look what they do to me if I hit my parents. Now that I'm Jewish, I'm allowed to hit my parents. Look at this. The Jews are less holy than the goyim. So we don't want people to go around saying that. We have other things like this also. That we don't want, again, also we have a principle that converts should be allowed to marry certain relatives. Let's say the ger converted and a close relative also converted. So halachically, they're not related, because they both converted independently. And so technically, halachically, on a deraisa level, they should be allowed to get married. But Chazal instituted in many cases that these two converts who were biologically related but not halachically related should not get married, because the ger shouldn't say, oh, look, when we were goyim, so we weren't allowed to do this. Now that we're Jewish, we're allowed to. It gives off the impression that we're marrying this close relative. So we have halachos like this. V'din mishu shahayu aviv imo rishayim gimurim before samim, really evil people, shepater al haka'asan ad shiasu tshuva. So the moment they repent, one would be liable for the death penalty for hitting them. But as long as they remain evil doers, then one does not receive the penalty. But aval asrhu mikol makom afilu kodem tshuva. But it's still forbidden, although one does not receive the death penalty, even while they are evil doers.
So you can retroactively be punished.
What do you mean?
Like if you hit them when they're a reshah, but then when they do tshuva, you're liable? Or
no, you have to hit them after they do tshuva. The actual act of, yeah.
Okay.
It says even that if you're they're going out to be, your parents are really evil and they were subject to another death penalty and they're about to go be put to death, and they do tshuva and you hit them after that, even though they're about to be stoned in a few seconds, you will now be liable for the death penalty.
The children, grandchildren,
sancher, they tshuva. Okay. So too, let's say the parents are not such great people, and the Bezdin is sending someone as a messenger to go hit them or apply a certain penalty, then the child of these people should not be the messenger of the Bezdin for these purposes. Chutz, but there's one exception. Mimesis, somebody who incites other people to worship Avodah Zarah, because the Torah says, Lo sachmo lov, one should have no mercy on such a person who incites people to worship Avodah Zarah. Can you imagine anything worse than that? So even in that case, the children are allowed l'chatchila to administer any penalty that is required on their parents. The Yeser Prateh, the rest of the details, Besof Sanhedrin, are found at the end of Masechet Sanhedrin. All these people are to be put to death. So again, it doesn't matter your gender. He's bringing here also the suffix genders. A tumtum is someone who you don't know the gender because there's some sort of membrane covering the genitals. The androgynos is somebody who exhibits both sets of genitalia. Vover alea. V'hika osam hakoshish b'chabura b'edim v'asra misosu b'chenek. That if you violate this mitzvah and you hit your parents in a way that draws blood, if there are witnesses and they warned you, then you're put to death through strangulation. But if you don't draw blood, then they're certainly not worse than any other Jew, where you'd have to be subject to the penalty that's given to if you hit anyone else. As I said before, that somebody who hits another person, if that the hitting would be subject to compensation that's less than that's more than a pruta, then you pay back the compensation, and you don't receive the penalty of lashes. The main but tashlumin shall shvei pruta lo keaveinu masham. If it's less than shvei pruta, since you can't pay it back, so you receive the penalty of lashes because there'd be no other way of compensating for your performing this sin. Shalachahi ein adam meisu mashalim bechein ein lo kemashalim. There's a law that if one subject to does damage on something else in a way that one would be subject to death penalty, then you don't have to pay back. You don't get double jeopardy. It's not exactly double jeopardy, but you get the idea. And so too, you can't both pay back and be subject to the penalty of lashes. It's either one or the other. Okay, we can start the next mitzvah. Mitzvah Mem Test, the 49th mitzvah, Mitzvahs Dinei Knossos Chovel Bechaviro. This is the mitzvah of the laws of penalties. Knas is considered to be an extra penalty for monetary purpose, as opposed to just paying back what you owe. There are extra things that you have to pay knas, a fine, in addition to the basic thing that you have to pay back. So Chol Lechavero is talking about somebody who inflicts damage on another person. Shenitztavinu b'din chovel b'chavero l'ansho, that we were commanded to punish somebody who administers who hits or causes damage to another person. Kimo shekasu b'Torah b'Parsha, as it says, Torah says, v'chi yirivun anashim, when people fight, so it's going to tell you all the penalties that are involved in that. V'zenik radine knosis, this is called the halachos of fines. With pasuk acher, kolol mishpatei haknasos kulam. A different pasuk talks about all the other fines. V'hu shekasuv kasher asa kein yasa lo. As the person does, so should the person have done to him. Yirtzalomar she yilokach mamono mashi tzaru bichdei mashatzir hu eschaviro. It doesn't mean like we know an eye for an eye. It doesn't mean that if you put out someone's eye, your eye should literally be put out. You have to pay in a way that's commensurate with putting out someone's eye. Kemoshe bo hakabola bo. So the received tradition is this is how you explain the Torah. It's not literal. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma explains, for it goes through many drushes of explaining why it cannot possibly have the literal meaning. Look there. It says, quotes here, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, 83b. Even if you didn't actually inflict physical damage, but you just embarrassed him. So there's also an appropriate payback if you just embarrass someone. These are called the halachos of fines. If a person inflicts damage on another person, b'shor, and if an animal inflicts damage on another, an ox literally inflicts damage on another ox, b'shor ba'adam, and if a person inflicts damage on an ox, ba'adam ba'behema, and if an animal performs damage on a person. Again, he includes all these things here, but some of the things on the list, my footnotes over here point out, as we also learned about in Yad Inyan Kolel, are superfluous because it's certain things are not considered really dinei knosos. Ain't done in Osam El Bevezdin Asmuchim Beretz Yisrael. So really, the halachos of fines are only to be judged by real people who have real smicha in the land of Israel. Shoshorish mitzvah zo v'chlal kol ma sheba b'Torah binyan hadin. So the point of this mitzvah is ain't tzarich liga achar tamu shel davar. I don't have to even touch the reason for the matter because it's so obvious. Ki davar muskalu. It's any intelligent person can figure it out. Shim ein mishpat lo yisyashu b'nei adam v'lo yamdu yachtav la'olam. That if there's no court system and criminal law, then the people, the society, cannot really continue to exist, and they will not. People will not stand or dwell together ever. V'yefshar la'aretz bilti mishpat. The society, the functioning of the world, cannot be without laws, without court, criminal law. Dinei ha-mishpat, ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah are ki yon achovel b'chaveru shechaye b'chamisha dvarim ha-yiduim, that if somebody inflicts damage on another person, then they are subject to the five known things, and they are nezek, the damage, the pay for the damage inflicted, which basically means, let's say you were sold as a slave, how much less would you be worth now if you were sold after the damage was inflicted? Sa'ar, you have to pay for your, the person has to pay for your pain, literally. Ripui, pay for your healing from the damage inflicted. Sheves, to pay for your lost time at work. And boshes, and have to pay for the embarrassment inflicted upon you. The chesed mechashven osan, there are a lot of different calculations of exactly how this should be figured out. V'din ha-boshes, and talking about embarrassment, shakol lefi ha-mevayish ha-mizvayish. That it all depends on who's doing the embarrassing, who's getting embarrassed, and so you have to figure out the exact level of embarrassment that was incurred over here, and pay accordingly. V'din yoshein shebiyesh, but if you were asleep, prerequisites for talking about the boshes is you have to have kavana to inflict the embarrassment. And it has to be on this person, really, that you have to know exactly what you're doing and exactly what you're doing to embarrass the person. So for that reason, somebody who's sleeping, who embarrasses someone else, is not subject to all the penalties of boshes. Osha be a shuhu, but... Hi. What?
How many years have been?
Yeah, that's true. If you're sleeping and you inflict damage, then you are chayev. But if you are sleeping and you inflict embarrassment, then you're not chayev. There's a difference regarding that. Right, Adam Mu'ad Lola means somebody, a person can always be expected to inflict damage. So, for example, if two people are sleeping together and one person, you know, rolls over and whacks the other person in the face or something like that, so you would be chayav. But if a person was sleeping alone and then somebody else got into bed afterwards, the person had no idea that there was even someone else sleeping there, then you would actually not be chayav, even in that case. Or, for example, if you were sleeping next to someone's kli and then you rolled over and you broke the kli, you would be chayav. But if they put the kli there after you started sleeping, then it's the other person's fault and you would not be chayav. But if you embarrass someone who's sleeping, then you are chayav, because when the person wakes up, they'll be embarrassed as to what you did to them. The meis mitoch boshto, madino im yorshav. So if somebody dies due to the embarrassment, so what can the people who are going to inherit him, his heirs, request payment? And the answer is really no, but with a caveat that if the heirs seize your property in the correct amount that you would have been liable to pay this person, then you can't ask for it back. In other words, you don't have to pay it to them. The Bezdin can't force you to pay it to them, but if they seize your property, then they don't have to pay it back. We have a lot of cases like that in Choshen Mishpat, where in a case where the Bezdin can't force you, but really in some ways it really is coming to them, the money, then if they take it for themselves, they cannot pay it back. They don't have to pay it back. Then what if the other person takes it back again and say, well, I wasn't really... Okay, there's discussions about that. But basically, the Yorshim, the heirs, get to keep it. Umevaya Shote, if you embarrass a completely foolish person, really not mentally stable, who really doesn't know what's going on, then you are not chayev. Ocherish, but if you embarrass a deaf mute, who in many dinim is like a shote, but is more mentally aware, then you are chayev. Okatan, you also are chayev, but less than for an adult. Madineim, where the halachos, umevayish ger ve'eved, and if you embarrass a convert, a regular Jew, you are chayev completely. Maybe a different monetary...
Worse?
Yeah, it is worse in some ways.
Like many, there's so many
it's worse in terms of a haftim es hager. It's worse in terms of the halachos of dealing with a convert, yeah, but I forget, maybe it could be the monetary amount that's prescribed is a little bit less or something like that. I'm not sure. The Eved, a slave, we're talking about Eved Knani, who's a quasi-Jewish slave, and even though he's not a free person, if you embarrass him, you have to pay, because they have our chayiv in many mitzvos. They're sort of quasi-Jewish, so if you embarrass a slave, you do have to pay. The Amavayish Bedvarim, if you don't inflict something physical on the person to embarrass them, but rather you just say words that embarrass them, so you're not chayiv, but... This is the famous Malbim Pnei Chavera Barabim, that if you cause someone's face to go white in public, Chazal say you have no chelak olam haba. It's considered really, really bad, even though it's not subject to the monetary penalties. There are a lot of worse things involved in that too. The chiluk shebein tam lechacham l'shar b'nei adam, but there's another exception, which is that if you embarrass a tam lechacham, even with words, you have to pay the full penalty. Vedin ha'boid b'chaver b'raglo, if you kick someone, o shitko b'kapo, or you hit him with your hand, o staro apanav, you slap him, tzara mozno, you whack his ear, talasharo, pull out his hair, rakak v'giyelo harok, if you spit, and the spit actually touches his body as opposed to his clothes, which would be more like mevayish b'dvarim, and again, these all have different monetary amounts that are associated with them. V'yeser prateha, the rest of the details, b'dvarim b'vavakama, b'perik ha'chovel, an aptly named chapter of the Gemara, b'perik ha'chovel. V'sham isbar sheyesh chiluk b'dinei knosos bein milsa d'shchicha v'isbei chisaron kis. So there it's explained that there's a difference in the laws of fines. If it's something that's common and causes people to suffer losses, d'v'ha avdinon shlichusayu. We have a principle that really the dayanim nowadays shouldn't have any authority because they don't have real smicha. So what gives the dayanim nowadays their authority? Because since there are no people of smicha around, so we're doing their work for them. They authorized us in advance to do their work for them. So we have full Torah authority to deal with cases like this. But it's limited. It's only certain cases that are this. It has to be something that's, as I said, common and something that could cause people to suffer losses if they were not taken care of. Also, in a case where midaraisa, you need a bezdin, like accepting converts, for example. So the only reason we're not allowed to accept converts nowadays is because of avdinan shlichusayhu, that we're doing the job of the people who had real smicha 2,000 years ago. We're doing the work that they want us to do. So, but otherwise, we really would not have authority to accept converts. Okay. So lemilsa delo shchicha v'afagav dis bechisarin kis, but something that's not common, even if people can suffer a loss due to it. Inema de shchicha v'leis bechisarin kis, or it's common and does not common but does not cause loss. Devani lo avdin an shlichusayu. In these cases, nowadays we do not have the authority to judge cases that involve fines, as opposed to just people lending each other money or things like that, which where we do have full authority to judge the case. Bechasa Rabbeinu Alfasi, but the Rith, who is one of the earliest codifiers of Jewish law, brings a shita from the Gaonim, Minak Shtei Yeshivas, the two yeshivas in Bavel, where the Gaonim, the authorities from right after the closing of the Talmud, had their yeshivas, and they used to send out tshuvas to the rest of the Jewish people. Shavabish Ein Govin Knas, even though the Bezdin does not technically have the authority to force someone to pay the fine, in the case, unless it's under the specific rubric that we elaborated on above. Minadin le ad shemefayis lebaldina. You have to put him in nidu, you have to put in some sort of excommunication until he gives of his own accord the money that he owes. V'chad yoev le yishir mai dechazi le yishor le alter. And if he gives what he's really supposed to give, according to the halacha, then they release him from his vow. Bein ipayis le mari didina bein lo ipayis. Even if the guy wasn't happy with what he got, The main thing is you try to make the other person happy, but if the Bezdin assesses that he gave the proper amount, then they can release his excommunication, even if the Baal Din, the other party, was not fully satisfied. This mitzvah that we are supposed to judge and punish somebody who causes damage to another person. Bizcharim, this is men, because men are the ones who are the dayanim. Kilam nitan lasos din, those are the ones who make din. Velo b'nikevos she'enodonos, so no female judges. Aval hein mikol makom, u'bichlal din hatashlumin, they are fully subject to all the penalties. If a woman hits another, it doesn't matter if a woman hits a man, or a man hits a woman, or a woman hits a woman, they will be subject to the same set of laws, or the same rubric of the knosis that are elaborated in the Torah. Bein shebiyishu onis baishu, whether they're the ones who caused embarrassment, or they got embarrassed. So what happens if somebody inflicts damage on a married woman? So how is the fine split between her personally? What part is given to her, and what part is given to her husband? Which part of the nezek sheves, ripoy sheves avosha, is given to her, and which to her husband? Okay, so next week we will not have shir, because hopefully none of us will be sober enough to appreciate it anyway.
That's not funny.